Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick. Welcome to this HopeCast, where we try to look at different issues surrounding us through the lenses of biblical truth, and we hope you'll enjoy this one today as we will address two issues. One is this continuing conundrum of transgendered athletes, and also the Catholic Church's proposed offer to Joe Biden that he cannot take communion unless he renounces his public position on abortion. Joining me today is Jen Houston, my friend and co-host on this HopeCast. Jen, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, David. I'm especially excited about this episode with you today because I really want to hear how your week has been. This has been an exciting week for you and your household.
It has been, Jen, and it's part of why I want to cover this transgender athlete issue, especially at the Olympic level, because this past week, my wife Marilyn and I were in Omaha, Nebraska, and we were at the United States Swimming Olympic Trials. Our son Michael was trying out for the Olympic team. He is an elite swimmer, just barely missed the team in 2016, and this past week he competed in the 100 freestyle and the 50 freestyle events. He is ranked in the top 15 in both of those events as a United States swimmer. And we watched with great anticipation as he finished 12th in the 100 free by hundreds of seconds, just missing that top tier that would go to the Olympic team. And then in the 50 free, he qualified for the final eight and missed it by hundreds of seconds as well. So it's a brutal sport. Yeah. You train for 4 years for that one moment, and Olympic swimmers tell my son Michael that the Olympic trials are more pressurized than the Olympics themselves. Mm-hmm. So he barely missed the team. And Jen, if you don't mind, I might give a dad moment here.
Well, I would love for you to, because I was sitting on my couch watching him. Couldn't imagine what Marilyn and you were feeling because my heart was invested. So please have a dad moment.
Yeah, I want to give a post-Father's Day tip to all dads, especially out there right now, but moms as well. You know, my older son, David, played collegiately basketball, and I played collegiately basketball as well. So whenever he would play, I would critique him, and I would come meet with him after the game and too often start probing into the areas where he may not have played well. And there was one particular game where he didn't play fairly well, and the Lord just said to my heart, you are his father, not his coach. You are his father, not his coach. So when he got into the car, rather than being his coach saying, why did you not shoot well or follow through as well as you should have or make that play defensively, I just simply asked the question, how are you doing? And our whole relationship flipped at that moment because I decided from then on to be his dad, not his coach. Wow. And he was relatively young at that point, so that drew us together as dad and son like nothing else.
That is so good. That reminds me of what you always say, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart.
And you got to have that heart connection. So if you're going to remain dads as your son's coach, you can surely know that your son will keep a stiff-armed distance from you because he doesn't want you to be his coach. He wants you to be his dad. Yeah. So just ask your kids, how are you doing? Care for their hearts because the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. So after Michael in the 50 free, we'd already known he hadn't made the team in the 100 free, didn't make the team. We got with him and the first question I asked him was, son, how's your heart? And he was disappointed because again, Jen, can you imagine working for four long years, two practices most every day, early morning, afternoon, weightlifting, what's called dry land, which means sprinting on dry land and trying to build up your endurance. 4 years going through all of that for really two events, one that lasts around 48 seconds, the second one that lasts around 20 to 22 seconds.
Wild.
And your whole life is determined by that second. So he didn't make the team, and all of us were disappointed. But you know what? We've taught here on this HopeCast before, disappointment's God's appointment.
Yeah.
And we believe that in that disappointment, God has something else planned for him, or maybe he'll make another run at it. He's still got some years, and we'll see. It's mm-hmm. God's deal working with him in his heart and the calling he has upon his life. We know it will be clear because our God is good.
He is good.
In everything, just believe that God is good.
That is good. And it's about the journey, isn't it? It's not just the destination.
It is, Jen. Although, don't neglect the importance of the destination. Mm-hmm. If you work hard to get a medal, that's important. But mm-hmm. you're right, too, that the journey is really what makes you who you are. And that's what we need to emphasize with all of our children. Look at the journey, enjoy the journey, grow through the journey. And if the medal comes, great. If it doesn't come, remember Paul's words that don't strive in life for, he used the word a wreath, which was given during the Olympic style games in his day, but it's a wreath that withers.
Wow.
It's a wreath that dies. Strive for the gold that only God can give in heaven, his glorious medal, which basically is the phrase, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, Jen, that leads to one of the points I wanted to make today, and that is in New Zealand, we have an Olympian now named Laurel Hubbard, who from 1998 to 2012 failed to qualify in any international weightlifting competition. Though you have an insight about this transitioned man to woman, mm-hmm. now named quote-unquote Laurel Hubbard, that is interesting for us to note.
Yes, before this person made a transition to become a woman, they competed in and broke, created a record in New Zealand for weightlifting
right.
as a man.
Yeah, now this was a national record.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
But this Laurel Hubbard had not qualified in any international competition from 1998 to 2012, mm-hmm. though she did set some, and I say she with quotation marks because she is a biological male transition to a woman, that she did have some national records but never succeeded at the international level. Well, in 2013, she transitions at the age of 35. Now, from 2014 to 2021, right now, she qualifies for 11 international women's tournaments now, including for the first time, the Olympics. Mm. And what's so interesting here is she had no other previous Olympic qualification, but when she transitions, she does get that bid. And I can't help but feel some pain for Nini Manumua, I think is how it's pronounced. Mm. She's 21 years old. She was trying for her first Olympics in the weightlifting category in New Zealand, but was defeated by Laurel Hubbard. And I can't help but think of my son, Michael. It's going to be three more years out until the next Olympics. The same thing for Nini as well. And I wonder if she's not terribly disappointed as she has to lose to a male who transitions to be a woman. Mm-hmm. One other illustration here, Jen, that I think's fascinating. In 2017, CeCe Telfer was ranked 390th among male Division II athletes in the 400-meter hurdles category. In 2018, he transitions to be CeCe Telfer. Telfer now in 2019 is the national NCAA Division II women's 400-meter hurdle champion. Mm. And in 2021, Telfer hopes to qualify for the Olympics. And I guess I ask the question, the transition of men to women debate, what's that going to mean for sports down the road?
Yeah.
We seldom look at the ultimate consequences of the decisions we're making now.
Yeah.
This could have a huge implication for women in sports. You know, right now, Chelsea Mitchell from Connecticut, who was ranked number one in Connecticut in her particular track and field events, has now finished second and third repeatedly to a transitioned male to female. She's actually taking this to court, and the American Defense Fund is actually overseeing this case, trying to argue that men, even biological men who transition to be women, have more bone density, they have more muscle mass, and even though they try to control the testosterone levels before the events begin, there's no way that a woman can compete against a man who's become a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
I totally agree, and my heart is just sinking, and I just honestly can't believe that we're here today. This is our reality, and this is our children's reality for the future even more.
Right.
I'm
and,
disheartened.
And you have a daughter, correct?
Yes.
And if you had a daughter that was a high-level athlete, what would you feel as a mom if she had to compete against biological males transitioning to female?
Well, this is a highly theological statement. I would say it's not fair. I know that's going to blow somebody's mind, but yeah, it really, truly, at the end of the day, it's not right.
Yeah, it's not fair, and you just don't know where it's all going to go. Will some of the golden glimmer that's on the Olympics begin to become paler because of things like this in the years and decades to come? No one really knows, but I guess I cry out at some level, this is just insane.
It's insane.
It is crazy, but it reminds me of Isaiah 5:20 as Israel was going through its darkest days. The prophet Isaiah said, woe unto you when you start calling good evil and evil good, when you start calling dark light and light dark. That seems to be what's going on mm-hmm. among us today. And I would just, again, remind everyone of G.K. Chesterton's quote when he said, when you remove a fence, you'd better first know why it was put up there in the first place. Mm-hmm. God created us male and female. That is undeniable biblically. If God's word is true, we've got to go to there to find our realities. God says there's male and female, that transitioning is a lie from the devil. There's a kingdom of darkness with one who lies all the time. Jesus in John 8:44 said he is the father of lies, and those lies have as their ultimate end destruction. Every study shows that those who transition from male to female or female to male have a 30 to 40% higher suicide rate. Let's not deny it. The devil just wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And he also wants to kill, steal, and destroy the dreams mm-hmm. of naturally born biological women who are gifted athletes who should only compete against women.
Mm-hmm. I think one name that we've talked about for the enemy is a divider too. And we've talked about some of these thought patterns and these ways of thinking and ideals. And really, if you go down the path far enough, they all contradict each other. When you think about these far left thoughts and these just do what feels right at the end, they're contradictory.
They are, Jen. And you just hit on something very key, that we are either led in our hearts by fact or feeling.
Yeah.
And if you're led by what I feel, then everybody ends up doing what is right in their own eyes, Judges 21:25, when Israel was going through its darkest days. Mm-hmm. And I personally believe that as the country tries to deny what they call reparative therapy, that is, telling someone who feels like they're female, you really are female, and here is the therapy you need to go through in order to have that. I think we as Christians need to say it's not reparative therapy, it's discipleship. Mm-hmm. And what we Christians believe is when Jesus grabs hold of your heart and he gets hold of your mind, he starts to conform you to his image, Romans 8:29. It may take some time, but he'll start to conform you to truth and not the lies. He'll start conforming your feelings to reality. And over time, you'll be able to then, as a woman, say, I am a biologically born woman, and I'm okay with that. And the same with men as well. But it's the Holy Spirit who does it inside your heart by his power, conforming you to his image. It's Christian discipleship. It's for all of us who have feelings that are off target, that aren't right. Jesus takes hold of our feelings and conforms them to his perfect fact, his image. And that's what we're supposed to be about in all areas of our lives, whether it is struggle with male, female, or sexuality, or anything that has come into our lives that controls us.
Yeah, that's really powerful in reminding us that we were all created in the image of God. I think we forget that. We forget the beauty because we're not beholding God.
Yeah, I don't think we know either, Jen, the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said to the Sadducees, who were just a political group trying to cozy up to the Romans, he said to them, you guys don't know the scriptures nor the power of God.
Wow.
And I would say to so many in our culture today, you don't know the scriptures, nor do you know the power of God. And if you do, you begin to understand what it means to be conformed to the image of Jesus, and your life becomes a servant, not a superstar.
That's so good. Yeah, the church are not, you know, we don't have these phobias of people who are trying to transition. I'd like to say our hearts are tender in wanting to restore original intent and identity for these people.
Yeah, and for all of you who are critical of the gender identity questions, just ask your own heart, where do I need to be conformed to the image of Christ?
That's
right. We all have those areas, whether it's greed or selfishness or envy or strife or anger, resentment, whatever it might be, we need to be conformed to the image of Jesus and let the Holy Spirit do that to us. And again, as we point a finger toward anybody with an issue in life, we need to see the four directed back toward us mm-hmm. that we need to change as well.
That's good.
Jen, as we talk about the devil and the kingdom of darkness, his name means, again, the divider. Mm-hmm. You have an insight on how that division is worked out in the human personality that I find fascinating. Please share it.
Yeah, no, I really think that when you define the devil as divider and you trace these patterns of thought that people have that contradict Christianity and a biblical worldview, when you go down the lane of, you know, thinking about transgender sports and, you know, we should allow people to do this. Well, if you go down that path and you're paralleling the same person with the same thought of, you know, say feminism, at the end of the day, they don't agree with each other. And it's a divided thought, and they contradict what they stand for. And I just really don't think that people see this. The devil is trying to divide everyone.
Everyone at every level. And you see that nationally with the two parties that are so angry with one another and other divisions. But that's an inward division that people aren't recognizing, that when people are confused about being male or female and transitioning, and they don't understand, again, the suicide rates increasing so greatly when you make that transition. One of my questions is, where are the feminists in this argument? Where are they?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a feminist, but I'm a female and I care about this stuff. And I'm wondering, where are my feminist friends and what are their views on this? They're silent.
Yeah, especially in the area of women becoming men, because at that level, biological women are saying, I don't like the fact I'm a woman and I want to be a man, which is the very thing feminists have fought for decades. We want to value women, especially created creatures in the sight of God. It, to me, seems oxymoronic.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thought, and I think it's something we need to continue to struggle with as we move down this road as a nation. One other insight today. Let's talk for a second, Jen, about Joe Biden, our president, and how the Catholic Church is now forming an understanding among its archbishops that if you say you're a Catholic, you must hold a pro-life view. And if you publicly or in your actions support a pro-choice view, then you can be denied communion. You can be denied the Eucharist. You can be denied the actual body and blood of Christ, which is the theological perspective of the Catholics. Now, I personally believe that the Catholic Church has every right to do that. They form their belief system. They say, this is our doctrine. This is what we believe. You are welcomed into this church. But when you come into this church, you've got to believe as we believe. If you don't believe that, then just don't join this church. And I think they have every right to say to our president and to say to Nancy Pelosi, to say to any Catholic out there, if you call yourself a Catholic, you must conform your views to the views of the church, and the church holds a pro-life position. And if you then publicly say, well, I am personally pro-life, but publicly I can't make that decision for other people, you're basically throwing your right to an opinion away.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you can't say that what informs me personally doesn't inform me publicly in my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, this is a bold statement, but it seems cowardice to me. You know, if you're not going to stand on a conviction publicly and you're only going to do it in private, that doesn't seem very brave.
No, it doesn't. And I think that if you are a committed Christian, you can't help but allow your Christian convictions to affect your public policies. How can that not happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then if people look at your Christian faith and say, I don't like the fact that your personal faith informs your public policies, then don't vote them in.
Yeah.
But you're representing a group of people who have voted you in, and they surely knew that you were a committed Christian, and they knew that your personal convictions about Jesus would inform your public policy decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you don't like it every 2 years, well, vote for another member of the House of Representatives,
mm-hmm.
or every 4 years, vote for another senatorial candidate, or vote for another presidential candidate. I think you make your convictions known, and then people vote accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So the Catholic Church has a right to say, if you call yourself Catholic, you can't take a public pro-choice position. And if you do, we will not allow you to receive communion.
Well, Similarly, I mean, we have guidelines in the Bible that we need to forgive each other before going to the table to take communion. I mean, there are guidelines here that the Lord sets forth. And again, it's the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart.
Yeah, it is. And I think also we all need, again, to consider what happens in that womb. I mean, there's a lot of debate right now regarding 15 weeks before you can do an abortion. But at 15 weeks, there are fingernails. Mm-hmm. There are brain waves. There are heartbeats. I mean, how can you say that's not a life? And then even at 15 weeks to be able to say, well, now it's okay. Mm-hmm. How can you say before 15 weeks that's okay even? Life begins at conception. Mm-hmm. All science says so. The phrase we use often today, just follow the science. Well, follow the science to the question of abortion. And most every scientist says that, well, life begins at the moment of conception. And if that's true, we need to value life in the womb. Yes, we need to value life outside the womb. Yes, we need to care for children outside the womb. Yes, we need to care for all children everywhere. Mm-hmm. But it begins at the moment of conception that we care for human life.
I totally agree. It is when that first cell divides into two. That is the sign of life. And if we were to see, to discover a cell on a planet far out there and see it divide, we would say there's life. There's
for sure.
Life out there. And how do we deny that right here on planet Earth inside of a womb? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, you get back to the force of darkness, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. His first desire is to kill life. Mm-hmm. He wants life destroyed. And if you begin in the womb, then you can convince others that life outside the womb doesn't have as much value as well, which we're seeing that around the world. All kinds of murder, destruction, killing going on. Mm-hmm. That is from the forces of darkness. And those of us who love God need to fight with all of our hearts to bring life, mm-hmm. justice, and hope to this world. Yes, in the womb and outside the womb. I have one other thought, Jen, about the whole thing with President Biden. I want to use this illustration from Alexander the Great, the amazing conqueror of most of the known world back around 400 BC. After one of his battles, there was a particular soldier who ran away in the midst of the battle. And they brought the soldier in before Alexander, and Alexander asked him bluntly and with some anger, what happened? And he said, I became afraid. I have a wife and child at home. I was thinking of them, so I ran away in order to spare my life so I might be able to care for them. Well, Alexander the Great's heart was moved with compassion, thinking about a wife and a child. So he looked at him and said, I understand. He said, by the way, what is your name? And the soldier said, Alexander. And Alexander the Great paused for a second, and anger began to swell in his soul. And he said, Alexander, change your behavior or change your name.
Wow.
Change your behavior or change your name. Dear friends, if your name is Christ follower, if you are one who is in Christ, you need to conform your behavior to His. You need to conform your attitudes to His. You need to conform your heart to His. And I would say to our president and anybody else, if you call yourself a Christ follower, and if you're a part of the Roman Catholic Church, you need to change your behavior or change your church affiliation or change your name. The fact is, if we follow Jesus, our behavior needs to follow the fact that we say Jesus is Lord. Those are my thoughts today on this HopeCast. Jen, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you so much. Always an honor.
And listeners, thank you for being with me today. I look forward to sharing with you some other thoughts in another HopeCast very soon.